Well, we're starting 11 lines down on the top of Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. We are in the middle of the sugya that's discussing the machloket or machlokot between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. We ended up over here because Rabbi Amar Rebbo said that Reish Lakish never suggested that the pasuk of Bechol Kodesh Lo Tiga was the source for the fact that Bia B'mitzat Ishmei Bia, you would get malkut for that, because he uses that pasuk of Bechol Kodesh Lo Tiga to teach us about the fact that if one touches a tameh, Nagaba Kodesh gets malkut. Then the Gemara discussed the fact that that's not the only thing he learns from that pasuk of Bechol Kodesh Lo Tiga. He also learns out tameh she'achal basar kodesh lifnei zrika, comes from that pasuk, as well as the ochel basar kodesh, that someone who eats basar kodesh who's tamei achar zrika, he also learns from that pasuk. So whether it's lifnei zrika, whether it's achar zrika, someone has tumata guf and eats basar kodesh, that Reish Lakish also learns from the pasuk of Bechol Kodesh Lo Tiga. So the Gemara explained to us that it has to do with the fact that, number one, it says Bechol, which teaches us both lifnei zrika and achar zrika, and also the fact that it expressed achila b'lashon nigia. Since it expressed achila b'lashon nigia, that also teaches us that nigiat kodesh is chayav malkot, with, based on the pasuk of Bechol Kodesh Lo Tiga. So that's where we were up to. Now we're up to the gufa. So we said before, this is the Gemara's reviewing, that a tameh, someone has tumata guf, that eats basar kodesh lifnei zrika, before zrikat adam. Reish Lakish amar lokeh, Rabbi Yochanan amar einu lokeh. Reish Lakish says you get malkot because of the pasuk of Bechol Kodesh Lo Tiga, Bakol teaches me both sides of it. And Rabbi Yochanan says einu lokeh, because Rabbi Yochanan's source for someone who's tameh b'tumata guf and eats basar kodesh, the azhara, comes from the gzera shava of tumato tumato. And since in the context in which the onesh of tamei shachal at the kodesh is found tahor yochal basar, that the one who is tahor can eat it, the only time you can eat basar is achray zrika. So too over here, the isur, the azhara, and the onesh of tamei shachal at the kodesh only applies to something that is achar zrika. So now on this, there's a machlokes abayi in the Rovo, because amar abayi machloket bitum ataguf. The machlok between Reish Lakish and Yochanan is only where we're talking about the individual is tamei b'tumat guf and its kodesh. Aval b'tumat basar, if the person was tahor and the basar was tamei, divrei akol loke. Everybody agrees in that case that you get malkot de amakra, because the pasuk says veha basar rabot itzim ulevuna delavnei achila ninhu. So when it comes to the pasuk in Vayikra that tells you that you're not allowed to eat basar tamei, it says aba basar asher yigah b'chol tamei lo ye'achel ba'esh yisareif veha basar kol tahor yochal basar. So twice the pasuk uses veha basar, which is unnecessary because we know what it's speaking about right in the pasuk. So that extra veha basar comes to teach us that not only is basar that you are chayav for when you consume it, but also itzim ulivona. Now, even though they are inedible, even though normally they would not be consumed, nevertheless, as Rashi expresses over here, the chibat klekdesh machshartam l'shavinu ochla. The love of hektesh, the special status of hektesh, changes their status as if they are ochel. And therefore, you are chayav on these objects, even though they are not bnei achila. That's what Abayi comes and suggests over here. Abayi suggests over here that, listen, basar lifnei zrika. What is basar lifnei zrika? It's something that is, quote-unquote, inedible. Something that should not be consumed, something that is not in the realm of ochel. But if etzim and levona can be brought into the realm of ochel, then certainly basar lifnei zrika can be brought into the realm of ochel. If that's the case, both Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan would agree, when we're talking about tum'at basar, we're talking about the actual basar being tamei, in that instance, they would agree that you, both of them would agree that you get malkot. That's the position of Abayi. On the other hand, Rav Amar, machloket b'tum'at aguf. He agrees, yes. By tumat guf, that's machlokas Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Aval betumat basar, we're talking about the person is tahor, but the basar itself is tamei. He consumes it. Divrei akol eino loke. Everybody agrees that you do not get the malkot. The opposite. Abai said everybody agrees you get the malkot. Over here, it's divrei akol eino loke. My time, huh? Kaven to lo krinen bay vitumato alav v'nichrata. Lo krinen bay v'basar shayiga b'chol tamei lo ye'achel. So this is the same thing that we've seen before of the juxtaposition of the two psukim in Vayikra Zayin, the juxtaposition of the pasuk Yutet and Chaf. In pasuk Yutet, it says a basar asher yigah b'chol tamei lo ye'achel, which is the source for the lav of consuming basar tamei. If you are tahor and the basar is tamei, you cannot consume it. The next pasuk Chaf is benefesh asher tochal basar mizevach hashlemim shel Hashem v'tumato alav. That's the source for the pasuk of tumat aguf. And he's consuming kodshim that are tahor. Now, tumato alav v'nikrachta is only in an instance when we're talking la'achar zrika. Everybody agrees that that pasuk that talks about karet is only speaking about achar zrikat damim. So just like the second pasuk was only speaking about achar zrikat damim, so too the first pasuk was only speaking about achar zrikat damim. That means that basar tamei, you're only going to be chayav for after zrikat damim, not lifnei zrikat damim. Even though Reish Lakish says that you get malkot for consuming basar when you are tamei, when the person, the individual is tamei tumat aguf, the basar is tahor, and you consume it lifnei zrikat damim, there is a lav. That's true that there's malkot. He learns it out of Bechol Kodesh Lotiga. But as far as karet is concerned, which is found in Pasuk Chaf there, that karet, even Reish Lakish agrees, the karet is only associated with la'achar zrikat damim. Only if one consumes the basar with tumat aguf after zrikat damim will they get karet. So that even Reish Lakish agrees to the fact that the pasuk chaf in Vayikra Zayin is speaking about lachar zrikat damim. And based on that, Rava says that both Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan will agree in the case of tumat basar, when you have the hekesh between yutet and chaf, that the tumat basar and tumat aguf are both in the same instance, and that's only lachar zrikat damim. Bahamamar, basar lerabot etzim levona. Wait a minute. According to you, Ravo, what are you going to do with the fact that it says Vabasar? The proof that Abaye uses for his position is a good proof. If you're chayav on Itzim Levona, then you shouldn't certainly be chayav on Basar, Lifnei Zrika. It can't be any worse than Levenim Itzim Levona. Says, how come my skin gonshi kichu b'kli? That they were put into a kli sharet, that's mikadeshim, denase kemish kervu kol matirav. It's as if, or the equivalent of something that has its matir been done. Now, by basar kodesh, the matir is zrikat adam. That's what allows the individual to consume the basar, is when the zrikat adam is done properly. So zrikat adam is the matir of basar kodesh. If you sprinkle the matir, then one is chayav for the tumat basar. If you don't do the matir, you're not chayav. So now, itzim and levonah will be the same din. Even though they don't have a matir, itzim and levonah actually go on the mizbeach itself. Nevertheless, there is a threshold by which beforehand they are considered to be not problematic in terms of consumption, and afterwards they are considered to be problematic with consumption, and that is their placement into a kli sharet. Ditnan, we have a Mishnah in Me'ilah, koshiyesh lo matirim, mishikarvu matirav, that anything that has a matir, then the chiyuv, over there, the Mishnah in Me'ilah, they didn't quote the entire Mishnah, they're skipping pieces of the Mishnah, it's like excerpts of the Mishnah, is koshiyesh lo matirim, mishikarvu matirav, then he's chayav v'pigol notar v'tamei. You only chayav v'pigol notar v'tamei after the matir is brought. Only after zrikat adam is there a din of pigol notar and tamei. Koshein lo matirim, things that don't have a matir, mishikadesh v'kli. When they end up in a kli sharet, then they become ra'oi for pigol notar and tamei, or whatever is relevant to them. Obviously notar may not be relevant, but pigol and tum'ah. So based on that, Rabba says, I can explain to you, Eitzim Levona also have the same din as Basar. I'm telling you that Tumat Basar you only chayav for after Zrikat Damim. And I'm going to tell you the same thing by Eitzim Levona. You only chayav after Zrikat Damim. Oh, there is no Zrikat Damim. The equivalent of Zrikat Damim for them, which is the placement into Kli Sharet. Now the problem is, when do Eitzim and Levona end up in a Kli Sharet? Which is not so clear. The Eitzim we're talking about here are the Gzarim, the pieces of wood that end up on the Mizbeach. They get placed on the Mizbeach. There's no placement into a Kli Sharet. They take the log, they put it on the Mizbeach, and they make the Maracha, and it's burnt on the Mizbeach. Where does it ever end up in a Kli Sharet? So there's a Machloket Rashi and Tosafot here. Rashi suggests that when the go up to the Mizbeach with the machta, with the pan in which they take the coals to burn Toret on it. They scoop up, they're supposed to scoop up from the coals, but they also may be scooped up from some of the wood that's on the Mizbeach. That's what it is according to Rashi. And that's how you get it inside of a kli sharet. Rashi says, Yezim shechata utam b'machtat kli sharet, me'al Mizbeachim ha'gichalim, uluvana shekidsha b'bazichin. And obviously the luvana is easier because that's when you put it on the shulchan, you put it inside of the bazichin that hold them. The bazichim are kli sharet. So that's easy to deal with. But the Yezim are much harder. Rashi says, when he scoops it up in the pan with the coals. Tosafot says no. When you do machtat gichalim, you're supposed to go into the internal coals. Machalot apnimiyot. You're supposed to go into the ones that are really burnt up all the way in the inside of the pile. So that would not, you shouldn't be ending up with wood in the machtah. You're trying to get to the inner coals. So he suggests over here that the kiddush kli by the etzim is that they mashku the gizreim. That they used to take, they used to scrape them down. They used to, when they take the wood, they used to shape them or shave them down into a nice shape and put them on the mizbeach. So that shaping of them, or that working over of them, where they filed them down, that was the equivalent of placement in kli sharet. It means it's the final avodah, or the action that makes them ready to be put on the mizbeach. So over here too, when they slice the wood and they carve it down to make it look nice, that's what's considered to be placement in kli sharet, or the matir for the etzim. So that's a Tosfot, which would make a little more sense, because according to Rashi, it's very unlikely that the etzim will end up in a kli sharet. I mean, as you suggested before, Shaul, there's only in that one case where he scoops it up with the gechalim, where you have a case where it ends up in the kli sharet. According to Tosafot, every etzim, when they end up on the, every etz that ends up in the mizbeach, would have passed, quote unquote, through a kli sharet, by the fact that they do this work over the etzim before they end up on the mizbeach. The obvious deficit for Tosfot is it's not inside of a kli sharet. So there's no kli sharet that's really working on them, it's just the action that's taken on the etzim. Alright, so now we're gonna keep going. Additional machlokot between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Itmar, hama'ale evrei behemat me'a agab mizbeach. Someone who brings, and is being makriv, a behemat me'a to the mizbeach. Reish Lakish amar luke, Rabbi Yochanan amar eno luke. Reish Lakish says you get makot for that, Rabbi Yochanan says no. Reish Lakish amar luke, you get makot tehora in t'me'a lo. Because the Torah, when it tells us that you can bring a korban in Vayikra Aleph the pasuk says, "V'daber al bnei Yisrael u'martaleihem adam ki yakiv mikem korban Hashem mina behema, mina bakar u'mina tzon takrivu et karbanchem." That you makiv your korban from the bakar and from the tzon, or from behema, bakar and tzon. Those are all behemot teorot. So the implications are that behemot teorot, yes; behemot meot, no. And that's what Reish Lakish says. The reason that you look at is Torah in, yes, you put on the mizbech, tamea, lo. V'lav abal mechlala say, lo kimen alav. And a love that is inferred or deduced from an assay, a positive statement in the Torah, you do get malkot for it. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, ein lo kimen alav. You do not get malkot. Lav abal mechlala say, a love that is only a derivative of the fact that it's a positive commandment in the Torah, or a positive statement in the Torah, ain lukim alav, you do not get malkot for it. I'm pointing this out, the phrasing is interesting. The Gemara does not say, in Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, I don't know if it makes a difference, does not say, which I would have expected him to say, that Reish Lakish says, lav abal mechlala say, lav, therefore lukim alav. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, lav abal mechlala say, asay, and therefore ain lukim alav. The Gemara never states that. The Gemara never says that lav mechlal asay is a lav, and lav mechlal asay is an asay in this machlokas. The only say is lokin alav and uni lokin alav. It's possible that they don't argue about that point. Maybe a lav mechlal asay is still classified as an asay. The only question is, do you get malkot for it? The other possibility is they both consider it a lav, just Rabbi Yochanan believes you don't get malkot on such a lav, because it's not explicit in the Torah. What's the nafkamina? Is asay dochelot asay? If you have a question here, is it really a lav, or is it still an asay? If it's an asay, then it wouldn't be doche. Whereas if it's an asay, a lav, then it could be doche. There will be nafkaminot between them. The simplest phrasal logic of the Gemara would have been to say, lav abam echlasei is a lav hu, therefore lokin alav, and lav abam echlasei a sehu, therefore ain lokin alav. The fact that the Gemara doesn't make the additional step, pointing it out because the Gemara doesn't take that step. So now the Gemara says, motiv Rabbi Yirmiya. Wait a minute. This limud seems a little bit difficult. Why? Because in Pashad Re'e, it says, ototochlu, it says, by the behemot, ha, teorot, or ksheirot, it says, those you may eat, velo behemat mea. And the implications from that are that you eat kosher animals, but you do not eat non-kosher animals. Here the Gemara is explicit that the lav that is deduced from a asay is classified as an asay. This is a braita. The braita over there searches for a lav for consuming non-kosher animals, and it brings a different pasuk. It does not use the source, or as its source, oto tochelu. Had it used that as its source, that would have been great, but it doesn't, because it says, lava machlal asei, asei, which goes against the position of Reish Lakish. So Amalei Rabbi Yaakov, the Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yaakov says to Rabbi Yirmiyah, who raised this question, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Tzliba, Asa Berlach, I'll explain it to you. I'll explain to you what I heard. When it comes to placement of a non-kosher animal on the Mizbeach, everybody agrees that you do not get Malkot over there. It's a Lava Ba Mechlal Asay, and therefore it's an Asay. Kib Lige, where do they argue? Bechaya. When we're talking about a kosher animal, that's a chaya and not a behema. Only behemot end up on the mizbeach. Chayot do not go on the mizbeach, even though they're kosher animals. V'hochi itmar. And this is the machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan amar over ba'asei. Someone who places a chaya on the mizbeach violates the asei. Reish Lakish amar, ain over below klum. And Reish Lakish says, you're not chaya for anything. So not only does Rabbi Yaakov say that they're arguing about a different topic, not a behemah tmeah, but rather a chaya teorah, but not only that, but he also flips their opinion. As opposed to in the other instances where Reish Lakish is the machmir in all these cases, and says you get malkot, and Rabbi Yochanan says, in a loke, over here he flips it. Rabbi Yochanan says you're chayav for an asay, and Reish Lakish says you're not chayav at all. Rashi says about that, v'hochi hava shmilei the Rabbi Yaakov. This is the Masorah Rabbi Yaakov has, because otherwise it makes no sense why their opinions got reversed all of a sudden over here, and why we're talking about asay. He says that's what it is. That's what Rabbi Yaakov, that is the story that he had. In chayalo. The reference is that when you say babakar ubatzon, babakar batzon in, behema tmeya no, bakar batzon in, chaya torah lo. That's what Rashi points out, that the word bakar batzon is used twice in those psukim. In Vayikra Aleph, it says that you bring behema, bakar batzon, takrivu, et korban chem, that's one time. And then the two headers of the parsha later on is im ola karbano mina bakar, v'im minatzon. So you have mina bakar, mina batzon twice. Bakar Batzon in the header of the parsha, as well as in individual statements. So you can have two miyutim. You can have one be the miyut, Bakar Batzon in Behemat Tmeah Lo, and you can have Bakar Batzon in Chaya Torah Lo. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan says you're over Ba'asei, is because it's a Lav Haba Mechlal Asei, and a Lav Haba Mechlal Asei is classified as an Asei. Reish Lakish Amar, Inu Over Lav Below Klom, this is an unbelievable shita. He says, how the mitzvah. That's it. The Torah prefers. If you want to do what the Torah asks, you want to discharge the obligation, the statement, or the commandment of the Torah, bring a behemah Torah. A chaya Torah you can put on the mizbeach. It's just not what the Torah asks from you. It's not a problem. You're not violating any yisurim, but nevertheless, you're not doing what the Torah says. You're not bringing a korban like the Torah said. So it's an unbelievable thing. He thinks that it's just reshut. It's a voluntary offering in the sense that you're not commanded to bring it. Whereas a behemah, when the Torah says bring bakar tzom, that's the right way to do it. That's the mitzvah to do it. But otherwise, it's a reshut. Okay. Motiv Rava, Ilunemar Karban Lashem Behema. Had it said that Karban Lashem, and it says what you bring a Behema, Haiti Omer, Hayichaya, Bechla Behema. That we know in general, when the Torah uses the term Behema, Behema is a generic term, not just for Behemot, as opposed to Chayot, but subsumed in the category of Behema is also a Chaya. Because, Haiti Omer, Chaya, Bechla Behema. Chaya is a subcategory of Behema. Kinyan Shinemar, Zota Behema, Shetochlu. When it goes to enumerate the animals that are kosher, it says, Shor, six savim, say zim, ayot, zviv, yachmor. So over here, the shor, the six savim, say zim, and ayot, those are behemot. But a tzvi, and I think yachmor, those are chayot. And they are under the header, zot, habehema. So you see that chaya is a subcategory of the word behema. So had the Torah expressed only the word behema, which is found in Vayikra Aleph, had it just used the term bina behema, which is, you can bring Mikem korban Hashem min habeima, and not said min habakar min atzon, I would have thought behema includes also chayot. But then it says bakar uvatzon. Afterwards, Tamon Omar, the pasuk says explicitly after the word behema, it enumerates what the prat is. It says klal behema, prat is bakar uvatzon, and ein baklal elam asher ba prat. So it's only behemot that are going to be included, not chayot. So bakar uvatzon amarti lcha velo chaya. I say bakar and son and not chayot. Yochol yavi. We could think maybe he shouldn't bring chayot. V'im hi vi kasher. But if he decides to bring it, it's kasher. What I am asking for is bakar and son. If you bring chayot, all right, that's fine. Halamazed davar domeh. What is this like? What's the mashal nimshal? The tamid shamar lo rabo. Tamid that his rebbe told him. Haveli chitim. Says bring me some wheat. And instead of bringing him just wheat, he brings him wheat and barley. That's not someone who's violating the word or the command of his Rebbe. He's just adding something else. He brought him the wheat that he asked for, but in addition, he brought him the barley. And it would be fine. So that's what we would have thought here also. The Torah asks you for behemot. Well, if you bring behemot and chayot, so that's fine. You've accomplished the behemot, and you're also bringing chayot. That should be good. Talmud Lomar Bakar Batzon. That's what the Torah comes to teach us. Bakar Batzon. Bakar Batzon Amarti Lecha Velo Chaya. You're only allowed to bring Bakar Batzon, not Chayot. Halma Zed Domeh. What is this really similar to? What's the good mashal for this? Tamid Shamar Lo Rabo Al Tavili Elachitim. Don't bring me anything besides wheat. Vevilo Chitim Besorim. And then he brings him wheat and barley. Over there, Sheinu Kamosifa Dvarav. Then it's not like he's adding on and expanding what his Rebbe said. He's violating what his Rebbe said. His Rebbe said, I only want wheat. And instead he brings wheat and barley. That's not what his Rebbe asked for. So it's over here.
Why does it say maybe a few things? Why doesn't it just say maybe?
Right, so Tosas asked you a question. Excellent. We'll get to it in 1 second. Pasul. And that is Pasul. Tiyufta, the Reish Lakish, Tiyufta. This is a very strong question. This Braita is explicit that Chayot are not a Rishut. Chayot are unacceptable, completely and totally unacceptable, and Pasul. So that goes against Reish Lakish's position that in Over Bekloom, there's no problem whatsoever to bring. Right, Rabbi Yaakov's Masorah of Reish Lakish. My brother's asking on this Masorah, but what we've ended up doing is in the last two statements of the Machlokot between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, in both instances, Rabbi Yirmiyah brought a question on Reish Lakish in the first case, and Rabbi brought a question on Reish Lakish in the second case. So both of these undermine the understanding of this Machloket. Whether it's really the question is on Reish Lakish, or the one who brought that as the Masorah, that's what Reish Lakish said, it's unclear from the Gemara. Whether this is really the opinion of Reish Lakish, and we're asking on Reish Lakish, or this is a problem with the Masorah, whoever had this Masorah, we can show it's incorrect because Reish Lakish couldn't have this opinion. The Gemara expresses as a question on Reish Lakish, and here expresses as a Tiyufta on Reish Lakish, suggests that they did have such a Masorah and that it was Reish Lakish's opinion, and this problem with Reish Lakish's opinion. For Shaul, your question, if you look at the Tosus towards the bottom on the widest lines there, it's in a Shein Mar Vyadavav. Afopish in Ze Meviel Chayal Vada. Right, this is only being a Chayal Vada. What do you mean you're calling it a Sorim and Chitim? It says, Kevin Dimirtz. So no mevi karban, ein ze mavir, shari tala bedato. So he says that's not considered to violate his word because tala bedato. So even though in the first case, also, it wasn't the case, his Rebbe says, bring me wheat, and you'd be brought wheat and barley. But when you bring the karban, you're not bringing behemoth and chayot, you're just bringing the chaya. So what it tells us is, it's still considered because you're bringing it, so no. You're bringing it to be a peace or to be a good offering towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that idea that the chaya over here, even without the behemoth, should be the equivalent of wheat and barley, is because the intention of this karban, or the tachlit, the purpose of the karban, is the same as what would have been brought by behemoth. So Tosus is fudging it a little bit to make it fit in. I would have maybe said that it has to do with what you bring. The Mikdash says bring behemot. So generally we have a carbon tamid, we have all these other things where we bring behemot.
This is adding
on a chaya on top of all the other behemot that are brought in his back. I would say it in a more general sense rather than this particular sense of this individual. To summarize, you have the charts, you can see the opinions of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, their machlokot here. The only things that we didn't get to, which actually are found in Makot Yudalid Amud Bet, is Nigiat Truma and Ba Le Migdash Tameh. In those two instances, that's actually what starts. The Gemara in Makot is really starting with those issues, which is about the Mikdash Tameh. What's the source for the Azhara there? And what's the punishment? And then the Gemara moves on to Truma and Achila Truma and Negiyah Truma. So there the Gemara is dealing with the others. So I put them at the bottom because that's also part of this whole series of Machlokot between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. But otherwise, you have all the Machlokot that we dealt with here, which is Tameh, Shenaga Bakodesh, which is what started us off. Then we discuss a Tameh, B'Tumat Aguf, that Achal Basa. And then we dealt with Basar Tameh itself. We're talking about Basar Tameh itself, a Tahor that eats Basar Tameh. Achar Zrikat Adam, everybody agrees that you would get Malkot in that case, because that's an explicit Pasuk that you're not allowed to eat the Basar. Now, when it comes to Lifnei Zrikat Damim, that's the machloket between Abaye and Rava. They both agree that Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan do not argue in this case. The only question is, what don't they argue about? Abaye says that everybody agrees they do get Malkot. The Rava says that they agree that everybody says that they don't get Malkot. And then the last thing we suggested two other additional machlokot, which both times the position of Reish Lakish was rejected, was the first one was Amale Ivrei, Behemat Me'anim Mizbeach. And the next one was Amale Evrei Chayot, or Chaya, Ala Mizbeach. There we saw, again, in the first instance, by the Behemah Tmiyah, we had the question from Yerbi Irmia. And the second instance, we had the question from the Braita of Rava. In both cases, we found a Braita that was explicitly against the position of Reish Lakish. In the first case, we kind of rejected the Lashon and brought Rabbi Yaakov's Lashon. In the second case, we left it as a Tiyufta and Reish Lakish. Cumulative to it's a tiyufta and reish lakish. We can't explain reish lakish, right? That's a nice idea. By me, nei reish lakish, mi Rabbi Yochanan. Reish lakish, yes, Rabbi Yochanan. Pasul, mahu shiaseh shirayim. So this is basically an issue that we dealt with in our Mishnah, and is a fundamental question here. Someone who is not ra'ui to do zrikat adam, when they do zrikat adam, what's the status of the dam that has yet to be placed on the Mizbeach? That means that which is in the Tzavara Behema. Our Mishnah suggests that if a Pasul does Avodah, you go back and then you redo Kabbalat Adam with the Dama Nefesh that's found by the Behema, and then you go ahead and do it. So the Gemara says, what's the din of Yaseh Shirayim? Does the Pasul make all blood that has yet to reach the Mizbeach into leftovers, or it has no effect on them? So Amalei, that anytime there's an avodah psula or done by a pasul, it has no effect on any residual blood. Any blood that has not been brought and offered up on the mizbeach, that is not classified as shirayim, except for when it's a psul of chutz lizmano and chutz limkomo. When you have a machshavet chutz lizman or machshavet chutz limkomo, so they say, for instance, here he was mekabel dam in a kos with klisher eight, and he goes to sprinkle that blood on the mizbeach. The individual is a pasul, so he sprinkles on the mizbeach. That which is in the cup, we're going to assume at this point, is for sure problematic. Because he took from that dam, he zorek al mizbeach, and whatever's residual in the cup, that's shirayim. On the other hand, that which is found in the neck of the behemah still, that won't be classified as shirayim. That's one possibility what the question is over here. Tosfos suggests that the question is even about that which is in the cup itself. Even in the cup itself, is that classified as shirayim or not, that you should place it on the yisod, mizbeach? Because shirei adam, you pour down the yisod, mizbeach. Whether it's not shirei adam, you would not pour it on the yisod, mizbeach. Everybody agree, you can't use it to sprinkle on the mizbeach again, but does that have a classification of shirayim, that there's a mitzvah to put it on the yisod or not? So that's, according to Tosfos, might be the question over here. According to, we'll learn like Rashi, that the question is simply, once he's done zrikat adam with that which is in the coast, what's in the neck of the behemah, what's its status? So Biokran comes and answers, it's our Mishnah, basically, which is that if you do zrikat adam, the Kohen can go back, yachzir, yikabel, go back, take the dam from the neck of the behemah, and he'll sprinkle it on the mizbech, and that shows you that there is no shirayim when a pasul does the avodah over here. The exception to that rule is when you have a makshevet chutzlim zmano and chutzlim kamal, Kohen, that goes ahead, a kasher, that goes ahead and does zrikat adam in the mizbeach, even though the korban will be pasul now because he had a machshevet chutz lizmano chutz lizmano, nevertheless the dam is not says shirayim and you can't redo the korban. There's no way. Once you have machshevet chutz lizmano chutz lizmano, it ruins the korban. That even if there's dam left in the neck of the behemah, you can't go back to a kabbalah and redo the korban. It's over. Everything's over when you have the machshevet chutz lizmano chutz lizmano. The only question that really needs to be raised over here is that generally we said before that when we do kabbalah to dam, you have to get kol hanefesh. You have to get everything, all kol nefesh adam. How does the Mishnah ever have instances where there's dam left in the Tzavar HaBeimah? The Kavanah Adam requires kol. Yes, and Tosfos answer gave the same answer over there, which is that's only the mitzvah, that's the chatchila. The chatchila, you're supposed to get kol nefesh adam, kol dam nefesh. But, b'di'evet, if you don't get all kol dam nefesh, you have enough dam to do zrikat adam, that's enough. So that's the cases here, all already starting out in a b'di'evet situation where you didn't take all the dam. So the Amar in Oseh Shirayim, Elechutz Zman Elechutz Lim Komo, Ho Meratzeh L'Pigulo. Since that karban, if the rest of the matirim are done properly, it'll become pigul. Therefore, since it works in terms of making the behemah pigul, it also works in terms of making any other residual dam shirayim. So now the question is, and this is what Shaul is asking, what's Reish Lakish's question? It is our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Yachzor, V'Yikabel, V'Yizrok. Our Mishnah is explicit about that. So now we're going to have two other versions of the question, which will eliminate that problem. The other possibilities, if you remember Rashi on the Mishnah, there are two possibilities of why Yachzor, V'Yizrok. There's two. One possibility is that Pasul Oseh Shirayim, which is exactly what the question of Reish Lakish is. Does someone who does something, does he make Shirayim or not? The answer would be no, that he does not make shirayim, because as the Mishnah says, you can go back and do it. The other possibility is that a pasul does do shirayim, except in our Mishnah, the case was a case where he did it shelo bimkomo. He did it in the wrong location on the Mizbeach. So if he does it on the wrong location on the Mizbeach, then you could argue shelo bimkomo is lav kimkomo dami. When you put it on the wrong place in the Mizbeach, that's the problem over here. And since he did it on the wrong place of the Mizbeach, therefore you can go back because the pasul says shirayim, but because you put it on the wrong place on the Mizbeach. Because when it talks about Zrikat Adam in our Mishnah, it talks about the case where a pasul does it, but does it in the wrong location on the Mizbeach. At the time, Rashi explained to us there's one of two possibilities about how to explain this. It's either pasul lo says shirayim, that a pasul does not make shirayim, or if you hold that a pasul does make shirayim, then you hold shelo bimkomo is lav kimkomo dami. When you put it in the wrong place, it doesn't help you. So that would be the answer to the question. If you'd say that, then Reish Lakish's question is still obvious. Maybe the problem in the Mishnah is lav kimkomo dami, rather than the problem of pasul mishirayim.
It's not just in the case where he did this in the wrong place.
It doesn't give a case where he does it right.
Yeah,
but see, Kabbalat Dam doesn't matter. Pasul Ose Shirayim is only Zrika the Dam. The Dam only becomes Shirayim at the Zrika. In Zrika, there's no proper Zrika in our Mishnah. The only cases of Zrika in our Mishnah are cases where he does it in the wrong location. So there are two problems. There's a problem of a Pasul and a problem of the Makom. Which one of them is causing the ability to redo it? Is it the problem of the Pasul or the Makom? And therefore, that could be the question of Reish Lakish over here, to Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Rav Zid Matne Halfi. Rav Zid said the question was actually this way. Bamine Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, Kos, Pasul, Ma'u She'eseh Shirayim. If the Kos is Pasul, now this is what somebody seems like, a Kasher, who's doing the Zrika to Dam. The problem is that the Kos made it Pasul. And the Kos made it Pasul, Yotza, it left the area as designated for where the korban can be. They took it outside the Azara. They brought it back in. So now the Dam is Pasul in the Kos, but a Kohen goes ahead and sprinkles it on the Mizbeach. That, when he sprinkles it on the Mizbeach, how does that affect it? Amalei, Sul Gufei, my Sfirlach. Rabbi Yochanan responds to Reish Lakish, he goes, wait a minute, why are you asking about a Kos? Why don't you ask me about the Pasul himself? I Pasul Meshev Yishrayim, Kos Pasul Nami Meshev Yishrayim. Let me tell you what the answer is. If a Pasul himself, when he does it, if the Adam is a Pasul, he creates Shirayim, then the Kos Pasul, even with the Kalim, will also create Shirayim. I Pasul Lo Meshev Yishrayim, if a Pasul does not create Shirayim, when he does the Zrika, then Kos Pasul also will not Meshev Yishrayim. That's Rabbi Yochanan's response to Reish Lakish. You're asking me about Kos, why don't you ask me about the Pasul himself? And because the answer is, whatever is true about the Pasul himself will also be true about the Kos Pasul. Question again in this case is about the blood left in the Tzavar Behema. You have one Kos that he's taking up to the Mizbeach that was the Kabbalat Adam. What's the status of what's in the Tzavar Behema? Then, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Midifti Matni Halchi. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Midifti said, this is the question. Bamine Abaye Mi Rabo. Not only is it a different question, it is also not Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, but rather Abaye and Rabo. Which is Bamine Abaye Mi Rabo. Kos Maushi Yaseet Chavero Dachuyo Shirayim. One Kos can affect another Kos. That's what I've been describing to you until now. The question until now has been, when I do this Zrikat Adam out of this Kos, we know that whatever's in this Kos is no good to use anymore. That is classified as Shirayim for sure, and you can't use it. The only question is the Dam in the Tzavar Behema. The question now we're dealing with is, what happens if he did the Kabbalat Adam in multiple Kosot? And then he uses only one of those Kosot for the Zrikat Adam. What's the status of the Adam in the other Kosot? Tosos, again, large Tosos over here, seemingly disagrees with Rashi. The question always is about when you take the Kos, is the what's left Shirayim, again, to put on the Yisod or not to put on the Yisod, the HaMizbeach. So, by me, by me, Rabba. Kos Ma'ushi Yaseet Chaberot Achoy Shirayim. Amalei Plukto de Rabbalozim Rabbi Shimon Rabbanon. This is a Machloket Tanaim. Detanya, Lamaluhu Omer. In the Pasuk it says, Ve'et Damo Yishpoch. And Lamatahu Omer. And later on it says, Ve'et Kol Dama Yishpoch. So one of these is talking about the Seir of the Nasi, about the dam that's left over from the Seir Nasi, that has to be poured on the Yisod HaMizbeach. And later on, in a Chatat HaYachid, it also says that you have to pour the dam into the Mizbeach. In the first case, it says, Ve'et Damo Yishpoch. The dam you put in. In the second case, for the Chatat HaYachid, it says, Ve'et Kol Dama Yishpoch. So why does it in the second case say Kol? In the first case, it does not say Kol. So that's the stira between the psukim. Why in one instance you have to put some of the blood on the yisod? In another case you have to put all of the blood on the yisod, the mizbeach. So minayin lechatat shekibel dama ba'arba kosot. Someone who did kabbalat dam for a chatat in four different cups. Vinatan matana achat mizeh umatana achat mizeh. When you have a chatat, you have to put one matana on each of the four kranot ha-mizbeach. So what he did was, each coast, he did one matana from each coast on the Mizbech. How do I know Shukula Nishpachim Nazod? How do I know that all four cups, whatever's left in that cup, has to be poured onto the Yisod of the Mizbech? Tamalomar, Vet Kol Dama Yishpoch. The word Kol tells you all that blood. Yochol Natana Bar Matanot Mikos Echad. I would think he does a Kabbat Adam in four different kosot. But then he only uses one of those kosot to do the four matanot akranot. Yehu Kula Nishpachim Nazod. You would think in that case, everything is a residual and you place it on the Yisod. Tamalomar, Ve'ed Damo, without the word Kol. That cup itself that was used for the Zrikat Adam, for placing the Matnot Dam on the Karnot, that one gets poured into the Yisod, the Mizbeach. The rest of them get poured into the sewer, the Amah, which is the water flow through the Migdash, that whatever went through, it used to flow in and flow out to the Nachal Kidron, that was their sewer drainage system. So they used to dump that blood into the drain, so it went out into Nachal Kidron. So that's the way the Tanakhama, the Rabbanon, reconciled between Kol Dama and Damo. In certain instances, you're going to put all the blood on the Yisod. In some instances, you're not. The cases where he was doing the Kabbalat Adam in four Kosot, if you do a Matanah from each Kos, then all the Kosot, that's called Dama, end up on the Yisod of Mizbeach. If you do the Matanot from only from one of the four cups, the other three cups get spilled down into the drain, they get dumped, and only that cup ends up in the Yisod of Mizbeach, and that's the case of Damo, without the Kol associated with it. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Omer, minayin lechatat shekibel Dama barba Kosot, benatan Dama Matanot because of Chach, Rabbi Shimon says, no, here's a case where he has four cups. He does the matnot from one of those cups. And he says that all four of them end up on the Yisod Mizbeach. How do I know that? It's called Dama Yishpoch. That says Kol. All the blood ends up on the Yisod Mizbeach. V'aktiv et Damo Yishpoch. What's Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon going to do with et Damo Yishpoch without the word Kol? That comes to exclude the shirayim in the neck of the behema. That which is left in the behema is not classified as shirayim. That doesn't end up in the Yisod HaMizbeach. So according to the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, what's classified as shirayim? Anything that's used for matnot dam, that is shirayim. If it wasn't used for matnot dam, no shirayim. According to Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, anything that was done with kabbalat dam, anything that was nitkabel, has a din of shirayim once one of the matanot are given. But that which is in tzavar behema will not have a classification of shirayim. And they're both trying to reconcile between the psukim of kol dama and damo. In one instance it says everything ends up in the yisod, in the other case it says only some of it will end up in the yisod. So that would be the answer to the question that Abaye asked to Rabba. Abaye asked Rabba, does a kosel say another kosel shirayim? Well, it depends. According to the Tanakhama, no. And according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, yes. And that's what he said, kumitza machloket Tanaim. Now the Gemara discusses in our Mishnah. The Mishnah gives a number of examples of Kabbalat Adam that fail. Bela Kasher, Venatan Lipsol. The other cases where the Kabbalah was done by the Kasher and then given to someone who was Pasul. And then Kibel B'Yimino, Venatan L'Smolo. He did it in his right hand and he switches this to his left hand. Or Kabel B'Kli Kodesh, B'Kli Sharet. He does the Kabbalah in the Kishrei and then he puts it into a Klei Chol. So you have all these examples of Psulim. The Mishnah enumerates numerous examples of Psul. Why does it have to give so many examples of psul? All it has to say is, if you did a psul, give it to the kasher. Did it wrong, do it right. Why does the Mishnah give three examples of doing it wrong and then rectifying it? That's what the Gemara says, v'tzricha. We need all these examples. Di ashmi inan, if we just heard about psul, about someone who is psul, have a mina, my psul. What does it mean, psul? Tame. The chazi l'avodat zibur. That the reason that we're talking about over here, when a pasul does it, who's pasul to do avoda? It's a tamei. So when we're speaking about in the mission, we say pasul, that means someone who is tamei. Now someone who is tamei, even though in this instance they are problematic, there is an instance when they're hutra in the mikdash, and that's when it's tamei, tumat the tzibur, when the tzibur covered, the tzibur is brought to tumah. So chazi l'avodat zibur. Aval smol, when it comes to left, which is a pasul, lo, maybe in that case I would say, no, you can't rectify it, because that pasul is a pasul that never has a heter. And small, if you're just talking about the left hand, there is avodah that is done in the mikdash with your left hand on Yom HaKippurim. When the Kohen HaGadol brings the Ketoret lefnai lefnim, he has to bring in one hand, in his right hand he has the machta with the coals that he's going to put the Ketoret on. His left hand he has the spoon, the kaf, with the Ketoret inside of it. So the Kohen HaGadol on Yom HaKippurim uses his left hand for the avodah because he's carrying in two items. One's in his right hand, one's in his left hand. So I would think that's the kula by small. Why does small not make it puzzle the gamma and you can rectify it? Because there is an instance in the Mikdash when small is mutar or used. So that's why it's mutar. You know, about klei chol, when it comes to klei chol, lo, v'yesh minin klei chol mishum techazu l'kodishayinu. Maybe klei chol, you can rectify the situation because a klei chol could be, you could matish it, you could make it into a klei sharet. Right now it's not a klei sharet, but you have the potential to be a klei sharet. Aval hanach, when you're a pasul, and you're small, you can't change that. That's not going to change. You are what you are. Aim alo, say no, it's a tricha, therefore we need all three of them. Each one has its own chiddush. If he had just written one of them, then we wouldn't know the chiddush by the other, because each one of them has a kula that's associated with it. So therefore we write all three of them to tell us that it's not the kula that's dictating over here. Anything that's pasul, you can rectify. So Gemara says, V'lahavile dichoy. I'm going to ask a very basic question. Why isn't this dichui? This is a korban that was ra'oi to have the zrikat adam done, and then it's taken over by a pasul. Somebody, a pasul, gets involved in the case. So Amar le Ravina le Ravashi, Achi Amar Rabbi Irmiya Midifti Mishmei Duravo, Hamani. Who is the author of our Mishnah? Chanana Mitzrihu, the late Le Dichuyin. Chanana Mitzri is the author of our Mishnah, who says that there is no such thing as dichui. Titania, we have a bright dog. There's actually three opinions in on Yoma. Chanana Mitzri is the last of those three opinions. Titania, Chanana Mitzri Omer, afilu dam bakos, mevi chevero mizaveglo. Even if the dam's ready in the cup, you bring a partner for him. What are we speaking about here? We're speaking on Yoma Kippurim about the Shnei Seirim. The two Seirim, there's the Seir Lazazel, and there's the Seir that goes out of Mizbeach Panim, the Seir Lashem. So the Seir Lashem, Seir Lazazel, you have to bring them, you have to do a Hagralah on them, you have to do lotteries on them, and bring them together. Over there, there's a three-way machloket as to what happens if the Seir Lazazel dies, or there's a problem with the Seir Lashem, how do you replace it? First opinion is, in the Yom, is that Balei Chaim Nidachim. Even when they're still alive, they're Nidach. Therefore, if you did the lottery, and then one of them dies, you can't just bring a partner for the other one. You have to bring another two, and do a lottery on them, and the other one's put out to pasture. The next opinion is that, no, if they're still alive, you can bring a partner, but once they're dead, there is the chuya. Once you've shechted them, there is the chuya. If it dies after the shechita, then you need to replace it and start over again. Seil Hashem, you do shechita and Seil Hashem, then the Seil Hazel dies, or something happens, goes wrong with the Seil Hashem, then you need to restart the whole process. And then the opinion of Chanana Mitzri is that even if it's in the dam, even if it's the animal's nishkat, the dam is in the coast, and then the Seil Hazel dies, just bring another one in and everything's good. There's no didach. So that's what he says here. Chanana Mitzri, who believes that there is no such thing as dichoy, even when it's in a dam, a coast of dam. So that's what our Mishnah. He'll be the author of our Mishnah, and therefore in our Mishnah, even though technically a pasul got involved in the avoda at a point in time where it was kasher to end up on the mizbeach, nevertheless, that's not classified as dichoy because we're Chanana Mitzri, who says there is no such thing as dichoy. What's interesting over here, the Gemara on Ted Vavav and Aleph, I don't know if you remember this, asked the same question. Why doesn't this? They asked from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, they asked a question on Ted Vavanav. They were talking about, can you do Tikkun? And then the Gemara says over there on Ted Vavanav, why isn't this classified as Dichui? And there, the Gemara gives a different answer. When we say Yachzir the Kasher, give it back to a Kasher, the Gemara over there talked about Holacha, who says that when he gave it to the Pasul, he moved it closer to the Mizbeach. Maybe he moved it away from the Mizbeach. And therefore it's... He didn't do any holacha. He didn't do anything that would make it a dichoy over here. So that's the answer of the Gemara on Tedvava and Aleph, was that it's not a dichoy here because it's not necessarily that he did anything to move it forward. He might have actually moved the whole thing backwards, and there's no dichoy because he didn't do anything that's classified as doing the avoda. So over here, the Gemara says, no, it's according to the opinion who says that, or there is no such thing as dichoy. Might be because the Gemara back there was talking about holacha. Over here, we're talking about Kabbalah and additional avodot, which you can't answer like we did back on Tedvav and Aleph. But I'm just noting that the Gemara had a different answer on Tedvav and Aleph. Now the Gemara says, Ravashi Amar, Kosh be adol of a dichoy. Ravashi says, no. It's even according to those opinions that say there is such thing as dichoy. But anything that's in your control is not called dichoy. What does it mean that it's in your control? So Rashi says, "Kop shi adola takein ulakzir." If you have the ability to fix the problem, then that's not called dichui. Dichui is only when it's outside of your control. Ah, what about on Yom Kippur? You have the ability to fix it. Just bring another behema in. Rashi, listen to Rashi says, "Aval ha'u de mishtaleach ein biyado miyamer dehavi leachrine." Who says they're going to find another one? Who says they're going to bring another one? Rashi says, it's not in your control. What's here, it's in your control. You just take the blood back. You just grab it out of his hand, you go back, everything's fine. That's in your control to rectify it. by the case of finding a pair for the Seir, who says, if I find it in time, that they'll find anything. I think that is strange. That is not usually the way we say Kol Shebiyado. Generally, Kol Shebiyado means what's in your control, and that would be classified in your control. What's out of your control, we usually say, is that it's an act of nature, it's an act of God. Something memela will happen.
Or where you require the involvement of another party, or the acquiescence of another party.
Not that you're actually controlling it. Tosos over here, Kol Shebiyado.
Tosos actually explains that Kol Shebiyado here involves two qualifications. One is that there's nothing in a Torah that is stopping you from actually doing the item. The example he brings is by Sukkot, where you take the lulav and the etrog and the dasim. The dasim have more berries than they have leaves, then the das is not kasher. Now, you could take the berries off, but on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do it. So even though technically it's biyado, you have the ability to take the berries off, but there is, as if we say, a lion sitting over you, that halacha says you can't do it. If you can't do it because of the halacha, that means it's lo biyado. That's not in your efsharut, that's not in your possibility to do it. The other qualification the Tosa says is that there has to be a command. Rectify it, you will actually accomplish a mitzvah. The example he brings where it's not biyado, for instance, when he does shchita of a chaya, and he has to do kisui adam on that chaya. When the blood falls on the ground, a wind came and blew dirt over that blood. Then the wind came again and blew dirt over. You do not have to go back and then cover the dam or kisui adam, because when you do the kisui adam there, you're accomplishing absolutely nothing. There is no mitzvah anymore to do kisui adam. It was already done memela by the wind, and whatever you're doing now is not classified as a mitzvah. So therefore, it will not be mevatel, the dichoy that happened because of the wind. So the Tosas says these two qualifications. Number one is that there can't be a mitzvah or halacha that's preventing you from accomplishing what you want to do to rectify the situation. And number two is when you actually do the rectification, you actually have to accomplish the mitzvah. Just because you go back and do the same action, if it's already nidchet and there's no mitzvah left, then that's not qualified as kol mashabiyado. Over here, Tosos says there's a mitzvah. Now, this relates to previous Tosos. Tosos over here says, I don't understand why they're asking about dichoy over here. The person here is no worse than an itzdaba. If you give it to a psul and the psul hands it back to you, it's no worse than putting it on a pole and taking it back, putting on a piece of rock and taking it back. Why is the psul involved at all? And this relates somewhat to the question that we asked from Ted Vovo and Aleph. I mean, the Gemara already heard there said that the person didn't do anything. They didn't do anything that made it a dichoy. So Tosus over here says the cases of dichoy over here are not talking about the case where you give it to a psul, but rather the cases where he either put it into a klichol or in the case where it fell on the ground. In those instances, the Gemara wants to know why it's not a psul. So the answer to that is that there's a mitzvah losfo. When it falls on the ground, there's still a mitzvah to gather all the blood up and continue with the avoda. If you put it in a klichol, there's still a mitzvah to put it into a klisharet and continue with the avoda. So that's why Tosus says it's biyado here. There's no halacha stopping you from doing it. And number two is if you continue to do it, there is a mitzvah. The Torah wants you to continue. It wants you to be ma'asef the blood and continue with it. And that's why it's called kol shebiyado over here. And that's why it's classified as not being dichui in this instance. The Tosas also mentions the first parak, and we had this also in Shavuot, the case where a person's mafrisha karban, v'hemir dato, and then he leaves the religion, and then he comes back. It's about tshuva. There we say the karban's nitchet. So Tosas says, well, that's biyado. There he has the ability to make the decision to be about tshuva or not. Tosas says, no. Kevan, that he left the dat, since he went off the derech, then ain dato lachzor. When he leaves, he has no intent of coming back. At that point in time, there's not biyado. Later on, he might decide that he wants to come back. But the moment that he's leaving, he has no intention of coming back, and that already creates the dichoy immediately. So now Gemara says, Amar Rav Shia Kavati the Ravashi Mistabra. Rav Shia says, according to Ravashi, makes a lot of sense. Man Shmaylei Deidlei Dechuyin. Who's the author of that position in the Mishnah Yoma that says that there is such thing as Yud Dechuy? That's Rav Yehuda. Detan. We have a Mishnah. Va'od Amar Rav Yehuda, Nishbach Adam, Imota Mishtaleach. Meta Mishtaleach, Ishbach Adam. And so that if the dam is spilt, then the Mishtaleach gets put to death. If the Mishtaleach dies, then you spill out the blood. And we have heard from him also. Anything that he has the ability to do, there's no dichoy. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Mer Kosech, Harayamim Alei, Midama Tarovet, Bezorko. It's talking about Korban HaPesach. On Pesach, they brought
thousands of Korbanei Pesach, and there was blood, as the Gemara describes, all over the floor of the Azara. So in the end, Rabbi Yehuda says, they take at the way end of the day, they took one cup, and they scooped up all the blood that was on the floor. And then they put Zrika, Zrika Achat, which is the requirement of a Korban HaPesach. Korban HaPesach, right, only requires one Zrika Dadam, Keneged Yisod HaMizbeach. So Keneged Yisod, Shema Mina, Kosh Biyado, Lo Abidichoy. Anything that's in his control is not Kasas Vayez Dichoy, Shema Mina. So there you see, Rabbi Yehuda, who's the author of the opinion in the Mishnah in Yoma, that says that if there's a problem with one of the Seirim after the Shechita of the Seir LaHashem, then there's a Dichoy. So we know that Rabbi Yehuda holds of Dichoy, and nevertheless, by Korban HaPesach, he says, don't worry about it. Even if the blood spilled on the floor, we're going to allow you to scoop up that blood with the cup and sprinkle it on the mizbeach. Why? Because you can fix it. Even if it was done wrong in the first place, now you're scooping up the cup from the floor, allows you to rectify, and that's called Kri Yado, Eno Dichui. So Gemara wants to discuss this case, Gufa. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kos Echad Yemalei Midam HaTarobet, Shim Yishpoch, Yishafich, Echad Mehem, Nimtza Shehu Machshiro. At the end of the day, after they had done all the Korbanei Pesach that were brought in the Mikdash, they used to take a cup, scoop up from the blood on the floor that was found on the floor of the Azara, and sprinkle one sprinkle from that blood that was on the floor of the Azara, in case, Rabbi Yehuda says, in case someone had dam from the Korban HaPesach that was spilled on the floor and never ended up on the Mizbeach. So for that instance, we want to take care of them. So that's what it's telling you. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kos Echad Yemam Leim Adam HaTarobet Shim Yishafech Echad Mehem Nimtza Shehu Machshiro. I'm really Rabbi Yehuda. They said to you about Lolo and Kabel Bekli. How do you know that the dam on the floor came from a kos and not from the neck of the behemah? Why are you picking it up now? You can't fix that. We had that admission in the first parak. You spilled the blood on the floor. You can't pick it up and make it good now. It's only if it was in a kli and then it spilled. So he says back to him, Mino Yode, where do you know that there wasn't in a kli? Ella Shemin Olin Tkabel Bekli. No, their question is, how do you know the blood on the floor? Maybe it was in a kli, maybe it wasn't. But how are you so sure? So Amar Lahen, Af Ani Lo Amarti Ella Shemin Tkabel Bekli. I agree. That's the answer. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're right. I only think when it was Tkabel Bekli. Vehu Gufe Mino. So how does Rabbi Yehuda know that all the blood on the floor came from a kli? He says, Kohanim Zrizim, Avdin, Haya, Umishtapchin. The Kohanim are very Zariz. So there's Rizim, so we know they definitely did the Kabbalat Adam. But then there's a lot of pressure by the Korban HaPesach, and they are doing it Haya, Meherat, fast. Umishtapchin, and sometimes it spills. So because it spills sometimes, that's where we worry about the problem. The Kabbalat Adam, we don't worry about. We know they did that right. They got onto a kli. But they're all running. There's so many Korban HaPesach. They're all running to the Mizbeach to get it on the Mizbeach. They were afraid that it spilled. In the rush to get it to the Mizbeach, it spilled. And for that, we try to rectify by picking up the blood. Gemara says, "Hello, dama tamzit murabo." Wait a minute. On the floor of the Azara, you have yes, dama nefesh that spilled maybe, but you also have the dama tamzit, the animals that are laying there, and their blood spills out afterwards, which is not dama nefesh. That dama tamzit is also mixed up over there. So the Gemara says, "Rabbi Yehuda the tamei, this Rabbi Yehuda the shita to." The Gemara, dama tamzit kari dam. The dama tamzit has a din of dam. If it has a din of dam, then it's not a problem to put on the mizbeach. That is also dam for classification, both for the iser of eating dam as well as the ability to place it as a matir on the mizbeach. And since dam tamzit is also classified as dam, therefore when they did the kabbalat dam, they not only would have been mekabel the dam hanefesh, they would also have been mekabel the dam tamzit. So every blood or all the blood that we're going to find on the floor is blood that probably fell out of a kos or came out of the kabbalat hadam. So now in summary, what we've seen here is, number one, we have Reb Yehuda, who is the author of the shita in the Gemara in Yoma, in the Bright in Yoma, that there is such thing as dichoy. When we have one, a problem with one of the two seirim that are brought on Yom HaKippurim, Lasir Lashem or Lasir Lazazel, we can't just bring something to replace it. We have to restart the whole process again because there is a problem of dichoy. Despite the problem of dichoy, Rabbi Yehuda is also the author of the opinion that on Pesach, you can go after all the korbanot are brought, take a cup, scoop up the blood from the floor, even though it fell out of a kli. That's exactly the case in our Mishnah, a case where the kli spilled, and then you go back and asif, you gather up all the blood, and you zarek it on the mizbeach. And we see that he says there's no dichoy. What's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in Yom HaKippurim and Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in Pesach? It's whether you're in control. You have the ability to rectify the situation. By Yom HaKippurim, he cannot rectify the situation. Over here, he can, because he can gather up in the cup and then sprinkle it on the Mizbeach. And that's the proof to Rav Ashi. The Rav Ashi believes that the author of our mission is Rabbi Yehuda, because even though in general Dichoy is a problem, in our mission it will not be Dichoy, because Kol Shbiyadu Lasot. And if you have the ability to rectify it, that's not classified as Dichoy. And as far as Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, Rabbi Yehuda says, we know for certain that
that when it comes to the Karban of Pesach, that all the dam was nitkabel in the kli, because the Kohanim Rizim him. What we're worried about is because of the speed at which it must be done, and the passing of the blood from Kohen to Kohen, as well as the getting into the Mizbeach, that maybe along the way some blood might have been spilled. So in order to rectify that problem, we take a cup at the end of the day, and we gather in all the blood, that's both the Dam and Nefesh, and the Dam HaTamsit, because both of those would be nitkabel in the kli, and we put it on the Mizbeach. Tomorrow we'll deal with the other issue of Rabbi Yehuda, which is Rabbi Yehuda the Shitate, which is, isn't it Batel? You have a whole bunch of dam that is shirayim, because that dam ended, their dam ended up in the Mizbech, and you have a bunch of dam that didn't make it on the Mizbech. And it's clear that there's more dam that ended up on the Mizbech that has shirayim here than dam that didn't. So it should be Batel, and that's Rabbi Yehuda Shitato, which is Ein Dam Mevatel Dam. There's a Shita that dam is not Mevatel Dam, and therefore each one retains its significance over here.